Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for August 6th, 2023. Karen Eileen is a cash flow cat with victories galore. So, 3 weeks of meeting your phase one weekly earnings goal of covering your expenses and your credit card minimums. Oh my gosh, congratulations. Congratulations. That is a huge milestone, 100% worth celebrating. How do you feel about that?
There is the power cycle thing that you and Miata both talk about coming online. I feel it. And it's like, oh, oh, okay. Yeah, that's what it feels like. Really, I didn't understand it until I felt it. So,
yeah. And that's we don't understand things until we feel them or experience them. So, but that I was just so excited when I read that. And you also met for your first session of Quicken Training with Elena.
I did.
Who's just a doll. And I mean, what's not to love there?
So helpful. I mean, the Quicken is, I've never used a program like that. So my first emotion was some big overwhelm, and now it feels doable. Like I can tell I'll be able to do it. Yeah.
My first thought whenever I'm confronted with a technology program I have to learn is no. And then I'm like, okay. And then you're celebrating that you're very proud of your strike mindset. Yes. The industry is on strike right now in the entertainment world of film and television. Mm-hmm. And you are remaining calm and curious and open. What can I do now to move my life forward? So strong and great. All right, let's dive in. Okay. So you wrote, I've hit my phase one goal of earning enough to cover expenses plus minimum credit card payments. Woohoo! I was writing the numbers I made for everything in my calendar each week, but haven't stopped to tally them up. So I didn't realize that this was actually happening until week three. And it's a great reminder to check your weekly progress rather than your monthly. Yeah. So all of this work has been 1099 stuff and unpredictable. So I still don't know if I can keep it up every week. I'm still seeking a non-1099 work job.
Yeah.
So how do I think about it if 1 week I fall short because there simply weren't enough students to work with or whatever? You're feeling the inner mean girl waiting in the corner with a megaphone. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks in a row. Oh God. When's it going to happen?
Yeah.
It's going to fail. Yeah. So what do you think? How do you think you would like to react and talk to yourself and talk to the mean girl when it, by the way, inevitably happens? Freelancing, inevitable.
Okay. Okay. I mean, the thing that comes to mind first is like, well, how would I talk to a client or how would I talk to a friend who came to me with it? And I would use kindness. I would be kind. What would I say? Like, I feel like it's a little too Pollyanna to be like, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Like, you know, that's
what
not
would
quite...
what would you literally say? You, Karen Eileen, if Helen was on this call right now, if Helen
came.
Oh,
God. Oh, that's emotional, right? Because that makes it very real.
Yeah, I'm working really hard on this. I'm doing everything I can to bring in work to meet those goals, and God, last week it didn't happen. Now I'm feeling bummed.
Okay. What would I say? I would say, yay you for bringing in all the money for all the weeks. I would say what you just reminded me of, Christine, which I need to put a post-it up about, which is the 1099 life, the non-traditional earner life is unpredictable by nature. There may be weeks where there's like a bit, the bottom of the roller coaster, we're all the way down here. And then there's going to be weeks where like we've earned six times what we need. What else would I say? I guess I would ask, what else did she feel like she could peacefully do? Was there any place she could make up that temporary deficit in the following week? And I guess like to expand out the lens and go like, well, if a week falls short, will the month still be okay? Or would the quarter still be okay? I mean, I'm This is new to me, so like I might think about
You're
that.
doing great.
Oh, and I mean, I'm pretty sure Helen has like planned savings. I'm working on that, but I would be like, that's what planned savings is for. And like, yeah, so that's what I would say.
Yeah. So what you hit on, what I heard you hit on is these are normal fluctuations in the freelancing life. Some weeks are even going to be more than you need.
That's a lovely
And
thought. Yeah.
the way I would phrase it to myself, instead of, do you think there might be something more you could do? Because I think the answer that's going to come back is, but I'm doing so much. I'm
It's
doing
not the
all.
right, yeah, it's not the right language, but
No,
that's how I talk to myself.
no.
Yeah.
What I would suggest you substitute from here on out, this is what I use myself when I've had months or, it's like,
Periods.
okay, what do I need to learn? What new way about bringing in money do I need to learn?
Oh
Because it's
boy.
not necessarily I'm not doing what I know how to do enough. Maybe you are doing exactly what you know how to do enough. Maybe there's a new way to approach bringing money in that you haven't tried yet or haven't, really engaged with. Because a lot of people, when you go, well, how are you? I need more clients. Okay, well, how are you finding clients? Well, I'm posting on social media and I'm emailing my list. And it's like, okay, that's great. But how are you getting fresh new eyeballs? Because that's talking to your, so it's like, oh, yeah. So now there's stuff to do over. It's like there's always new things we can do to either enhance an income stream we have already or create a new income stream. So it's like, okay, so maybe this took a dip because the universe doesn't want me to, just coast. They really want me to grow. So it's like, okay, what new thing am I going to try?
I am just gonna need to practice the mindset because it's new for me to focus on what's happening every week. I'm not gonna have any judgment on that. It's just new. And so there's some part of me that's like, yeah, but if I don't make my week, how am I gonna, huh, what if I have to hurry up and do something because I don't have the contingency in place yet. Like the pit of my stomach drops. It feels like was my second question, which is feels like I'm so close to the edge, but my phase one goal was like just stop the hemorrhaging, just stop the hemorrhaging, which is what has happened.
So when you go into just the immediate like vibration and you can't like talk to yourself, because sometimes we just can't talk to ourselves. But when you're in the best thing to say is just very quickly to yourself is like, I am so far ahead of where I was 3 months ago.
Oh, isn't that nice? That's true.
That's 100% true.
Like without even hesitation, even with craziness going on, I feel fully that that is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
3 weeks in a row of hitting that goal, that's not where you were 3 months ago.
Correct.
Systems in place, learning new things with Lena, that's not where you were 3 months ago.
That's right.
And if you hadn't done all of this work, you would still be where you were 3 months ago. And you are a different person.
Feel it. Yeah, that's a very nice thing to focus on when I get in the weeds.
I'm a stronger person now and I can handle this. And the outcome of me not hitting my income goal this week, the outcome of that is actually going to be different in my life because I'm no longer operating like that.
Oh, that's nice too. I think I'm caught in what the old outcome goal was, which was like epic mess. Okay, that's also such a great reminder.
What you're ultimately proving to yourself, Karen Eileen, right now in this phase of your life is, I can handle this.
Yeah, that's huge for me. I mean, you have been on this journey with me. You know, that's just ginormous.
And what's great about, and I'm pleased as punch with the way your life is unfolding, because I would rather you learn that about yourself, that you can handle this with money and business so that you have that in place for when personal stuff comes down the pike. Because I know you'll be able to handle that too.
Yes.
If you talk to yourself and remind yourself that I can handle this. So these muscles are going to help you so much with all of that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, the universe has been very kind to give you this opportunity to focus on this and building the muscles here.
I feel very emotional because I don't sit in that all the time. And it's very true. Like, this is a very kind, beautiful flower pot to be like digging around in. And not everybody has that grace. Not everybody gets that grace. So, and the other thing that I'm remembering as you're talking, which I feel like is really significant for me to remind myself of, is either you or Miata or both of you said something along the lines of $1 million can't land in chaos. It can't land. And so it's like, and I remember you saying to me specifically, like, learning the lesson that I could take care of myself in this way is like treasure. If somebody handed me $1 million and I didn't fix the internal stuff, I still wouldn't know that I could do it. I'd be like, oh, somebody rescued me, somebody saved me. So this is very, very big foundational depth charge stuff. So it feels like that. Yeah.
It's so good. You're doing such great work.
Thank you.
All right. I think that was those covered it.
The phase, like, how long? So the other question was like, how long do I hang out at phase one?
Mm-hmm. What's phase two?
That's a good, like, what is phase two? Like, if phase one was stop the hemorrhage, cover your bills, cover the credit card minimums, that's not going to pay off my debt. Right. So how do I assess how big my phase two goal ought to be? It like feels random at the moment. Mm-hmm. And how long do I want to hang out at phase one before I'm ready to shift up? Like, and maybe the answer is it has no answer.
Well, the answer is basically phase one was get to enough.
Uh-huh. Yes.
To where you're not spending more.
Correct.
Than you're bringing in. So phase two is more than enough.
Yes.
And I think you can do one of two things. You can just pick for like phase 2.5, just pick a number and go, okay, I'm going to shoot for having $200 extra after I pay all my bills
every month.
And do my credit card.
Okay.
Just $200 as evidence.
Oh, because I was like, well, the phase two has to be now I'm going to double it. It could be
anything, but we don't want to demoralize you. I'd rather you have 37 phases.
Oh.
But if you do want it to go speedier, I think it would be for me, the question is like, well, how much rent would a studio apartment be for you?
Mm.
Okay. Well, if in your area, a studio apartment goes for $2,500 a month, then having $2,500 a month.
Oh, I see. So phase two could be like, now I'm going to add in rent.
Cause you're covering your expenses.
Yes.
And you're paying your credit card minimums.
Yes.
You're not going into debt.
Right.
So now it's like rent. Yeah. So I think that would be a great one for you. Rent.
Okay. Okay. That makes me panic a little. So that's probably a good one. Okay, good.
And if what you're doing now, business-wise, with your 1099 work to bring in money that's covering expenses, then it's likely you're going to need another income source to bump it up a notch.
I'm looking for the full-time W-2 gig. I'm looking for
great. It. Great. So. And I think that's where your rent is going to come from.
I think so. So
yeah.
All the good vibes. And I'll keep you posted. So happy to come and report this today.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Business. All right. I have someone here who's just a phone number. So I don't know if it's Ileana or Ingrid. Or Carolyn? Are any of you here?
It's Ingrid.
Ingrid!
Oh. Hi! there's something wrong with my Zoom and I can't get on. So I've tried this number and here I am.
Perfect.
So I can mute again if you want, but I've never had this problem before. So hello.
Well, I know what you look like. So, and I saw you because I watched the mastermind call that Miata just did this month. So I was like, it's there. Oh my gosh. Right?
I wish I could see you right now, but at least we can hear each other.
Congratulations on your marriage. Oh my
gosh. Thank you so much. Yeah.
That is amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a lot of changes since we last spoke.
I'm so happy for you. I hope really
Thank
good
you
ones.
So much. Thank you.
So your marriage came a new name. So
yes,
your name used to be, as I knew you, Ingrid Saxon, and Saxon was a stage name that you someone, you know, suggested 2 years ago, and you're over it now.
Yeah.
And so, but your website that we had set up was saxonvoice.com.
Yeah.
And so you're right. Like, what should it be now? And you thought ingridvoicecoach.com.
Yes. I also thought the possibility, you love it?
Yeah, I do.
Did you say?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it then. I also was speaking with a friend today and she suggested like my initials, you know, it's now Ingrid Sorengirian. So ISG voice coach or something like that, but, or it could just be Ingrid because people know me as Ingrid, right?
Yeah. And the thing about ISG sounds like a corporation.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Ingrid is such a unique name.
Right.
So okay. I would go Ingrid voice coach. What more do I need to know? Yeah. It's easy to spell. It's easy to hear it, you know, because even if you're like ISG, it's like people would have to get those letters just right. Yeah. I would go Ingrid voice coach.
Okay, honey. Great.
Yeah.
Cool. That's the change. Thank you so much.
Oh, I love it. And so you had two other questions. The first one was, let me ask you something about the second one. So you wrote you've had assistants that were helping you with your monthly vocal tips, MailChimp newsletter and posting on social media, and your current person needs to move on. So you're wondering if I knew of anybody who could help you. So the question I have for you is like, how much would you be paying them?
Well, that's the thing, you know, what I've been paying just feels kind of costly for me. Mm-hmm. So someone had recommended Fiverr, mm-hmm. Which I haven't looked into. Is that like a good, is that something you would recommend or another platform where, you know, I honestly don't know. I have to remember what I was even paying my last person. I have it right here. One sec.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here is right. So, oh gosh, 2.5 hours. Oh, 45 an hour.
Okay.
Which just felt like really added up a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to pay less.
Yeah. So I definitely have someone I can recommend in the $35 an hour range.
Okay.
And then Fiverr is an absolutely fine marketplace where you can look and see if you can get anybody. Because sometimes people who live in other countries, they might be fluent in English, but just live in another country. And they might have a lower cost of living and maybe you might be able to get them for less. So look around Fiverr.
Okay.
Shoot me an email to remind me to send you the information about my person. I haven't used her, but I know her, so she's lovely.
Okay, great. And can you just, I'm sure I have your email, but can I jot it down here?
Oh, yeah, it's my name. So it's Christine at ChristineAller.com. K-R.
Oh.
So it's like you can see it, my name. Oh, you can't because you're on the phone. Yeah. So K-R.
Okay.
K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E.
Yeah. Yeah. That okay. Cool. Okay. Great, honey. Thank you.
And so good. Okay. I would definitely, Ingrid, I would definitely say you can find someone to do the work that you need done for less than 45 minutes. Yeah. I can guarantee.
Cool. Yeah. That's great. Okay, great. Cool. So I'll root around there and see what I come up with. And if not, I'll just reach out to you.
Perfect. And then
Thank you.
You take beautiful, you take beautiful photos. People follow you on Facebook and Instagram and frequently tell you how much they love them and have asked about purchasing them. And they also suggest I put together a show in a gallery. And I'm just wondering if you have any insights or suggestions about how I can make this into a business. Everyone, I just wanted to let you know, I forgot to introduce, Ingrid is a cash flow tiger. And she is a transformational voice coach. And she apparently also does photography. So, so what have been your thoughts around trying to turn the photography into another income stream for you?
Thoughts. Well, people have suggested maybe doing put something up in a gallery, but that requires getting prints made and that can get costly. Mm-hmm. We did find a really good place that Gilbert, my husband, artwork, and he found it to do blow ups of some, he had copies of his artwork, whatever, and they're very good. And so for my Christmas or something, he had several of my photos blown up and they did, I think, a really nice job. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't remember the cost and he just left. So getting it so that people see it, and I honestly don't really know what people would charge for the kind of work that I do. And then also, I know Etsy, but I don't think I'd make that much money on Etsy. I haven't done anything because I just do a round robin in my mind. And, I just really don't know. I just wanted to have a conversation and see if you have any, a place to even start thinking about it.
Yeah. So you're in the research phase.
Yes.
You have this idea, people, mention some things to you and you're like, oh, that's interesting. I never even thought about it. So let me start to think about it and let me start to research what is out there in the marketplace with regards to photography. Mm. And when you're thinking about pricing, you have to think of the cost it would be for you to have the print made and delivered, to you or to the person, but then the time that it takes. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have to make a profit.
Yeah.
And then the question becomes, does the person desire my photo so much that they're willing to pay for the cost of having it printed and shipped to them and the time it takes me to set all that up? And my profit on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thing about photography is, of course, like when we see these gorgeous photos, like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's amazing. But so many people can take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can take them well, but photography is very accessible to people, much more so than it used to be.
Yeah.
So the market of people willing to pay for photography,
mm-hmm.
when they can go online and get prints and pretty pictures in however they want. So
yeah,
you might start with the research of Okay, well, I would want to offer this as like a, let's say, 24 by blah, blah, blah print. It would cost this much for me to have that kind of done. And right. then it would take me this much time, a couple hours to do it. And so yeah. I need to charge this much for it. And then yeah. you want to see, maybe go back to the people who've asked you about purchasing yeah. that and say, mm-hmm. okay, well, what size are you looking for? I can come back with you for a quote.
Mm-hmm.
And you come okay. back to the quote and then you see how that lands, because it's very easy for people to go, oh my gosh, Ingrid, your pictures are gorgeous. I want to buy one. And that's a lot different than here's my money.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's been kind of my thinking behind it, kind of all the things that you're saying. It's like, you know, unless I am kind of known, you know, and oh, I must have an Ingrid voice coach photo. Mm-hmm. So, I know everybody's always like, yes, you have to do this. And, you know, of course, easy for them to say. You know, everybody's like, oh, you have such a great eye. And I feel like I really love it. And I do, mm-hmm. you know, I love, you know, when I'm watching films, I mean, I'm just so aware of how they're framing things. And, you know, I feel I have an eye for uh-huh. that kind of thing. Uh-huh.
I don't want to dissuade you. In fact, I want to encourage you to research.
Okay.
So Google, okay. How do people make money as photographers? How do people sell their photography?
Oh my God. So
because selling it. Okay. Selling it to a consumer, you to a consumer is
yeah.
one way to sell it, but you might be able to license your work to art houses that produce prints for hotels or businesses. I remember when I used to work at a Xerox store, this person would come in with these big, thick books, and they were just pages and pages of pictures and posters and art. And those were catalogs that they would take mm-hmm. to a person building in a hotel, and the hotel person would pick out the art for the hotel. And each of those artists had been licensed by the company, and they would get a cut if their work was sold. So there's licensing, but you need to figure out like, ooh, what are all the avenues and do they feel worthwhile enough for me to go down?
That's brilliant. First of all, thank you. Yes. That is, I mean, first of all, Googling, right? That's really, really great. And I love your idea of, yeah, there may be things like that. Like, absolutely. That would be so cool, you know?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
What that brings in.
And if you, let's say, you have your photos have a specialty about them. Maybe it's black and white, maybe it's animals or babies, or, you know, if there's some kind of niche that you particularly good at, then you can start Googling around just that, even that niche. Photos of horses. How do I sell my photography?
Nature and cars are.
Oh, now the car thing, you could,
yeah.
People could, I'm sure someone has a business where they just photograph people's cars.
They yeah.
know, right, lighting and things, and they just make a car look sexy. Yeah. You know, so
yeah.
that is stuff in your research. And
yeah. it vintage cars, because where we are by the beach is, you know, that all these cars show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe stock photo places would want those kind of pictures. Like there's lots of commercial licensing that might be available to you. Mm-hmm. But I would also encourage you on your social yeah. media to just have a little yeah. line, you know, like whenever you post one of your gorgeous pictures in the captions,
yeah.
also include, would you like a print of this photo, DM me or contact me for a quote. Or click or go to this link for a quote. And then you can send them to a Google form, which are free for you to set up. And you ask them all the basic questions. So you don't have to do it in an email. What size do you want? Do you want it, you know, just a print? Do you want it framed? Do you want it on a canvas? What do you want? Do. Mm-hmm. So all their questions. And then what's your, you know, what price range are you thinking of? Like, what are you hoping this would cost? Because if they're hoping it costs $15 and you know it's going to cost them $50, you could just email them back and go, I'm so sorry. Prints like the what you want start at $50 and up. Let me know if you're still interested. Yeah.
Right.
So if that is more like that. So then you really get to see, now that people know they can buy prints, how many people out there really want to do it?
Exactly. Exactly. They get it for free on social media. So it's easy to just say that, right?
Yeah. But someone might absolutely, as we all do, fall in love. We all fall in love with certain pieces of art and we can't even explain why we do. It just touches us and we're like, I need to see this in my house every day. And then that's when you put the money towards it.
Yes. I have one friend and I know they're, you know, they're quite, they have a lot of money. And she really, I mean, this was quite some time ago now, and I just don't even know what photo it was, but she said, I would really like to purchase this. And I had no idea how to answer her. So I just said, oh, that's great. You know, but that this will be great to maybe put something in place and test it out.
And you can even Google, how do you price a print of my photography? I bet someone's written a blog post about, well, this and this and this and this, and this is how I come up with my prices.
Thank you. It sounds so simple, right? But I just didn't even think of this.
No, I think sometimes we get stuck on this idea of like, I don't know the answer to this question. This person's asking me, like, how much do you want for this? I don't know. And we just kind of freeze there. Like, we should know. Why should we know? Right. You've never done this before. How should you know?
Exactly. Great. Awesome. This really is great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's so great to talk to you again. And you definitely need someone to, you know, once you decide on your new URL, to flip out that picture on your website.
Yeah.
But that's not, someone will know exactly. They can just take that same image and replace the graphic that says Saxon Voice and use that same picture. Yeah. Like, someone will know how to do that. That's not a problem. And congratulations on this chapter.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, great to hear your voice. Thanks a million, Christine.
Absolutely. And congratulations on your new group program that you're starting too. That was exciting to learn about.
Yes. I wanted to have a more affordable option, you know, and so I think it'll be nice to have that in my back pocket. So thanks so much.
100%. You're welcome. Ileana. Ileana is a cash flow kitten with regard to her side business, and she's not yet clear on what it is yet. Digital organizing, still on her mind. Hello. Okay. So her victory report. You secured a commission facilitator, made a plan, and got the draft of the piece that you were commissioned to do started. It's rolling. We're headed. I'm so happy you just broke through that. You shifted that energy. You have two really good questions here. So I'm going to read this. Question number one. I've been struggling with some anger and resentment about the pay for an upcoming artistic career project that is technically very prestigious, but is paying less than all the other work I've done. One particular pain point has been around traveling and housing. Every other project I've had has covered that. But this one's giving a stipend, and then I have to book myself, and the stipend amount just doesn't cover the actual costs. And I've been feeling a lot of anger and frustration about it. It comes in waves. It feels unjust. And I know it's pushing on a lot of the same buttons as the strike. I spoke with a friend who's done this type of project before, and she had the same situation, and her stipend was actually slightly lower, but she was traveling a shorter distance. So I know this is kind of like standard for them. I'm applying for an emergency grant that will hopefully cover the difference between the stipend and the actual cost. But even filling out the grant form made me so angry that this massive career opportunity is costing me money. I'm trying not to let the anger bleed over into my experience artistically, which it kind of sort of already has. I'm leaving for this trip in about 2.5 weeks. I love the way that you, Christine, have talked about life, doing life experiments. And I'm wondering if you have any guidance on how to craft an experiment I can do with this trip and this artistic opportunity. Last session, when we were discussing my commission project, you asked what stories I could let go of to make the writing of the commission fun. And the word fun really struck me. I've been thinking about ways to incorporate fun. Ah, yes. I can understand why buttons are being pushed for sure. Yeah. So unmute yourself, Elena. And so tell me, Ileana, I'm sorry. And so what have you been thinking about how you can deal with this? Well, the first thing I want to get clear on is, how do you see this as a career opportunity for you? Like, what are you going to get out of this aside from the stipend? How is it going to impact your life positively? What are the benefits of this?
Mm-hmm. It's a high profile opportunity. It's, I like could be specific, but I feel like I've just been complaining about it, so I shouldn't be. But it's like it's a high profile opportunity that will really get my name into a national conversation in a different way. It's a play in New York, and like New York is where people pay attention to playwrights. And so I've had regional productions, and that's part of what I'm sort of comparing things against. But it also means that I'll get to be in the city for a while. I went to college in New York. A lot of people I love are there. So I'll get to see those people. When I was angry the first couple of times, one thing that there was a moment where I was like, well, if I'm dipping into my vacation money to pay for it, then it's a fucking vacation. This is a vacation. Amazing. And that made me feel better for a little bit, even though it was like better in a bitter kind of way. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, maybe that's not a great story to tell myself, because then I will be there working 6 days a week and it might not feel like a vacation. So I was like, maybe that story will come hurt me, but it is like, it's also artistically been like lovely. I think the people are lovely. Like, I do think it's a good opportunity in a way. I just have to keep dragging myself back to that because I'm so angry.
Mm-hmm. And talk to me about the anger, because this is not about us going, Ileana, you shouldn't be complaining about such a wonderful opportunity. You should be eternally grateful. No. So it's not about pushing the anger away or even diminishing it. And certainly not about dismissing it, like you shouldn't be angry. So let's just talk about it for a minute. Mm-hmm. What's the anger?
Now that I'm saying it out loud, I realize that some of the anger is with myself for not having the money to begin with. Like, if I had the cushion that I had a year and a half ago, I would be able to absorb this without all this frustration. And so funny that didn't occur to me before right now, but 100% some of the anger is with myself. I feel like it's a funny dynamic, but there's sort of an assumption that playwrights live in New York. And so there's not like it's not usually something that they have to make accommodations for. Most theaters don't have to bring people out because they just work with local people because they've conned everyone to living in New York City. So I think like that piece of it, there's a part of the story, a story that keeps coming back to my mind is like, they want me to die. Like they want me to starve on the streets. Like they don't want me to have enough money to live. And there's like the stipend part has been a particular pain point. There were also some real fumbles in communication leading up to it there is it's 6 weeks. I'm getting a particular rate for that 6 weeks. But initially my rep, I think, just like misheard somebody on a phone call and thought that I had half that amount for 6 weeks. And so for a full week, I thought that I had like a truly unlivable amount. And I was so terrified. And then he called back and he was like, oh, sorry, I misheard. And I was like, what? Get it in an email. But like, so I think like it was set up in a difficult way. And then I only just found out that I was going to be responsible for buying tickets. And so like the communication rollout, I think, is also contributing to the pain. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else in the mix. I just get like, I sort of like a blinding anger, yeah, I think that sort of like unlivability of the profession stuff is getting pushed on. And there's also like, there's a typically in what I've done before, which now I know isn't standard, even though I thought it was, you also get a fee for being there. Like it's a weekly fee that you get for attending rehearsals. That's also not part of this process. So the baseline fee is higher than typical, but I thought that there were going to be more numbers than just that one number, but now it's just that one number.
Okay. And so it sounds like you went, not in a bad way, but you went into this with some assumptions. Those assumptions were knocked down. Plus there was confusion from bad communication where you thought, oh shit, it's even going to be worse than that. And it's like, ah, so my assumptions were knocked down. And then it's like, but I'm angry at myself because I should have more money. This is just, it hurts to be reminded that I don't have quote unquote enough money. I would suspect it also hurts to be reminded that you're not further along in your career than this.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how sometimes these opportunities that sound so great, like when you talk about this thing and like, you know, people will be like, oh, wow, that's amazing. But it actually is painful because it's an opportunity that actually reminds us of where we're not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's really what you've been contending with in preparation for this project. And those are, you know, deep bruises. Those are like, ow. And the interesting thing is, I can report, is that as you move on in your career, there will always be things that remind you that you're not where you want to be, or you could have had more money at this stage of your life, or more leverage at this stage, or more. Yeah. So that anger and pain is there for you to process, but also for you to have a conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on a bench, and on the left side of you is pain, you know, because it hurts to have to evaluate your position and go, oh, I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. And on the right side of you is anger, because fuck starving artists and fuck not paying us for our art and fuck like, oh, we love your play, but we're not as good at fundraising, so we can't pay you enough. So I don't know, ask your grandma if she has any money that can help subsidize your trip here, even though we do want your art. But what's great is that if you don't want what the little pennies we're offering you, we'll go find somebody else because we love your play, but there's 100 of you out there. It's like, yeah, fuck. So having a little inviting anger and pain to tea and go, guys, fuck, right? What do you want to tell me though? What do you want to tell me? What do I need to know now to get even better and move forward? Because they, our emotions have something to offer us if we listen to them and not just kick them into a closet and try to shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
They have a message. So you want to ask them. You guys have been like hanging around these last couple of weeks. So what is it you want to tell me? And when I do journal writing like this, where I'm sort of talking to my inner child or talking to somebody who's not like me. What's interesting is if you write in your journal with your dominant hand, are you right or left-handed?
Right.
Right. So you would write out like, so pain, what is the message that you have for me? And then switch the pen to the non-dominant hand and write out the answer with your non-dominant hand, because it makes your brain slow down because you cannot write as fast. And it is sometimes really interesting what comes up. Mm-hmm. And it's usually not a long, convoluted answer that you would be writing out with your dominant hand, you know, pages and pages, because you can't do it. And what's interesting is that our soul speaks to us in sentences, not paragraphs. The truth is whispered to us in a few words, usually, sometimes even just one word. And we're like, can I have some more? And they're like, nope, everything you need is in those words right there. So I would do an exercise of something like that, of really talking with your anger and talking with your pain. And part of the anger is the overall injustice that is being so thrown in our faces with the strike and everything and all that's being said. And I think you've already kind of turned the corner on this. You've decided to say yes, and you've decided to go. And so that requires literally just, how is this going to be great? How is this going to help me in the future? How is this just all of it? And you just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. It doesn't mean you can't feel pain and anger. You'll probably have lovely little reminders of those thrown in your face during this whole thing.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Right? But you have to keep dragging your brain, because your brain is going to want to go to self-righteous anger because it feels so good to soak in a hot tub, a bubble bath of self-righteous anger. Nothing feels better, but you have to drag your brain back and remind it, we chose to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make the best of it. And since you chose to be here, you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot. You want to get everything you can out of this, which is like contacts and great relationships and all that stuff. But you see people do that so often. They don't really wrestle and process their pain and anger. So they say yes, and then do this thing through gritted teeth and then sabotage the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
It's better to not take the opportunity than to do an opportunity and sabotage yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so another thing you can tell yourself, and I don't know if this is true for you right now or not, but for everyone listening, like, you can also say to yourself, okay, I'm going to take this opportunity, and I think that this is the last time I'm going to do something like this. I think that I will say no next time. If the compensation doesn't actually compensate for the pain and the anger, if it's another good opportunity, like even better, then maybe I'll, you know, consider it. But since I'm doing this one at this level, I don't need another one at this level necessarily. So maybe that's part of what can calm you down is, okay, I've decided that this will be my last one of these. And you can tell yourself that now and then decide later, because each opportunity is a fresh decision. But yeah, but I think the most important thing that you just realized is like, and when we have a bigger emotional reaction to something than it actually is, it means we're reacting to something beyond just that thing. And you really hit it. This is really about like, oh, I should have more money than this right now. This should not be a problem. I wish I could just fucking write a check. It's too much, you know, just pay for it. That and I wish my career was in a different place and I had more leverage, or I didn't have, you know, I just could turn this down because I had 7 other offers. Wouldn't it be so fun to be like, sorry, you don't get me because you're not paying because I have 7 other offers. Bye. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the self-righteous. That's just the momentary hit of self-righteousness. But, yeah. So does that help with that?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that it did not occur to me that the anger had something to tell me. And I do think, I can't believe I just put it together now that I was also angry at myself. And like, yeah, I think that is going to be a really useful exercise to unpack this a little bit. And I really appreciate the point about not shooting myself in the foot. I like, there was a moment where I almost did and I pulled myself back. But there's even been like, I know that they don't, you know, I know that the theater is also struggling and I know that they don't get it, but somebody was like, where are you staying? And I was like, oh, I am at this place and this place. And they were like, oh, like with a friend. And I was like, no, not with a friend. I got so upset and like it, but I pulled it back and it was fine. But like, I'm like, it's really good to know, like, let's not be bitter with the artistic director right now. Really great to pull myself back from the ledge with that. And I think that's really good to think about, like, to stew in those different set of feelings for 2 weeks before I go, instead of getting on the plane angry about how much more the plane ticket cost than the stipend was, and and also I think there's also a space for gratitude about like being fortunate that I do have this, like, what right now, like, they also haven't given me the stipend yet, so there's just this assumption that I'll be out this much money for however many months, like, until they do. And so, like, angry as I am about that, like, thank goodness my mom was willing to put that on her card so that I can reimburse her when the money comes in, instead of like, for us, it's difficult to be supported, but also like thankful that I have that ability.
And do you know when they're going to pay you?
Yeah, there's a schedule.
Okay. As long as there's a schedule, that's great. That's something else, is like getting all that stuff in writing. Absolutely. So this is where the maturity comes into play. And people don't do this and they just live very messy business lives. Your point of power is in accepting something or declining something. That's your point of power. That's when the ball is in your court. But if you choose to accept it and say yes, then step up and into it, instead of like, girl, I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to hate it the whole way. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not mature adult behavior. That's not good business. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So awesome. And your second question, equally good. So a while back, you applied for a job as a scriptwriter for a YouTube channel that you really love that posts entertaining and educational videos. And you got through the rounds and was asked to submit a sample script. And they also asked for your rates for this kind of work. The job is to write 2 scripts, 10 to 15 minutes in length, on a historical topic that I would be provided with research on. I have 2 weeks to draft the scripts, and then 2 weeks to implement any notes. In my response email, I said, typically, my rate for script writing is $100 an hour. Based on the time it took me to complete this example assignment, I anticipate that each script could take me between 10 and 13 hours to complete, depending on subject and scope, script length, the volume of notes, etc. I'm not sure if you're planning on billing me hourly versus offering a flat fee, but I'm open to a conversation about rates. I assume that this would be a contractor position rather than an employment, but please let me know if that's not the case. Beautiful, by the way. Clear, covered all the bases, concise, no equivocation. Like, you know, I mean, like, you know, if you have a problem with that, like, no equivocation. You just stated the facts. Very nice. So then you wrote to me, I don't know if I'm moving on to the next interview round, but if I did, I'm wondering if you have any guidance on how to approach the conversation in the interview. And determine the fee that I would not go below. The starting rate I quoted them is essentially $2,000 a month. I would be thrilled with that number and pretty happy with $1,500. But when I think about the number creeping below $1,500, I start to feel torn. I estimate that the job would take me about 20 hours per month overall. Because of my time tracking, I know I spend about 100 hours per month on my creative career on average. So that had me wondering if my baseline, I won't go below this rate, should be 20% of my abundance bound monthly number. I know this might not be an exact science, but I'm trying to figure out how to choose my rate from clarity rather than just taking my emotional temperature. Yes, because I know my emotions around money are running real high right now. Oh, this is such a pickle. Like, hey, can you do this work for us? And how much will you charge? You're like, okay, I don't know. Yeah. So I think you did a good guess where you're like, well, here's what I usually get. Here's the time I'm guessing. I'm open to a conversation. So you gave them a ballpark, starting point. So you're thinking it would be 2000 because 10 hours at least,
two videos.
10 hours, $2,000. And is this an ongoing thing or just
ongoing?
Oh, so it'd be like, you'll churn out two scripts, $2,000 a month. Okay. So you're like, it sounds like 1500. You're like, I could do 1500. Yeah. So it sounds to me like you already know below 1500, no bueno.
Okay.
I mean,
once I think about the number getting below 1500, I start, something rises within me and it's just
nervous. That's called the indicator, because here's the problem. Mm-hmm. If you take below 1500, how much fun, coming back to the word fun, how much fun would you have every time you sat down to do this job? You would hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. It's not worth taking if you're going to soak in that energy. Mm-hmm. Same thing with New York. If you have decided to go do this 6-week thing, steeping in that energy for 6 weeks, that hurts your health. It hurts your career. It just sucks. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, where I am right now in my headspace, in my life, I can't do this job for less than 1500. So there you go. And you've quoted them 2000 up. So now you have a $500 thing. And let's see if we can get closer to two. Maybe they'll come back and say 1500. And you're like, well, would you be willing to do 1750? Like, you can always recounter when they come back to you.
Okay.
And you're either going to be in their ballpark, or you're going to be so above their ballpark, they can't play ball. Uh-huh. If they're like, oh, we were hoping for 500 each. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not with you. Mm-hmm. And this is why business muscles are so important. And this is why being able to have other streams of income and know how to get a client and or a job, just not even just like know how, but just believing you could, that allows you to keep building your life where there's fun in it, where the texture of it is enjoyable, versus like, I have to take this crappy job and I have to work with this asshole client because I need the money. It's like, yeah. Or you can just get better at getting more clients and then you can pick and choose and pick and choose.
That does sound good. Okay. That does. I think the other voice that I'm hearing is that $1,000 would make a lot of difference right now. Like there's still a part of me that's like, because I think it's the strike landscape and the fear and the whatnot, but like, even though that maybe it would be better for a little bit more context also, the sample assignment that they gave was a 5-minute video, as opposed to the 10 or 15 that they would want typically. And then they also had me research for it myself, whereas I believe that there would be a researcher position who would be doing. So it felt like the assignment was a little off kilter. And also I had a lot of fun doing the assignment. I really liked it. And so I know logically that the fact that I had fun doesn't mean that I should charge less, but I guess I did think that a little bit in a way. I don't know. Maybe so
what I want to say. No, I love that you brought this up. I love that you just made the point you made. we're going to talk about it because this is for everybody. First of all, there's no right answer here, by the way, guys, no right answer. She could charge whatever she wants for it. She could do the job for whatever price. No right answer. She could do it for free. She could be like, I love this. I'll do it for free. Fine. So one, there's no right answer. Two, there's no moral judgment. If you decide to do it for $500 or for free or for $1,000 or for $4,000, doesn't matter. There's no more. You're not a better or worse artist or a better or worse person or a better or worse business person. The fact that you can charge a higher fee versus a lower fee. Because there are lots of extenuating circumstances where a person would be like, I will do that for $500. I don't care if it takes me all month. I need that $500 so much. But here's the sticky wicket that I love that you pointed out. It is true that $1,000 would make a lot of difference. But sometimes if we go, well, $1,000 would make a lot of difference, so I'm definitely going to take that job, but I hate working for less than I want to be working for. And so it's really painful. And if it's painful, it means that you'll take longer because you'll procrastinate and you'll just, it'll the creativity won't flow because you'll have too much resentment. As I said, always and forever, you have to set your price at where you won't have any resentment. The minute you have whiffs of resentment for the price, the texture of your life starts to become crappy. Now, if you were in a position where you're like, oh my God, I would do this job for $500 because $500 would really make a difference, you're not going to have resentment. You're going to do the job, even if it takes 40 hours, and you're going to be like, yes, I got $500. And it's like a victory. But if you're not in that position and you're like, well, I mean, $500 is $500. I mean, it's not like it wouldn't make a difference and it's a strike and oh my God, scarcity. And yes, I'll do it for five. Oh, but now you're just seething. You're going, why did I say yes? And blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's not going to be great. And then you're just torturing yourself for $500. Mm-hmm. I want a price that you decide I'm not going to go below this because if I do, I'll torture myself. Mm-hmm. Of course, if I handed you $1,000, if I walked over to your house right now, Ileana, and handed you $1,000, you'd be like, oh my God, thank you so much. This will make a difference. Yeah, money makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So that can't be the only criteria. And for a lot, my point is for a lot of people, sometimes that's what they look at. Yes, $1,000. But it's like, what do you have to do for that $1,000? And how are you going to feel while you do it? And that answer is different for everybody. And it's different for everyone in different circumstances. So it's a case by case basis. So in this case, in these circumstances, for you, Ileana, you're kind of like, the resentment doesn't start until it goes below 1500. And then I can feel the resentment. Right? Is that what?
Yeah, I think it's like it's resistance. But I do think there's 1500 to 2000, thrilled, cartwheels.
Yeah.
1000 to 1500, murkier. And maybe that's something I'll sit with and meditate on. And I think when I have answers, like, am I doing the research or is someone else? Like, it will be clearer. I'll be clearer on how to answer those questions. That's helpful. That's really helpful.
Yeah. And here's the thing about the murky, because that's, I love, you're just pointing out such great stuff. You're right. Because it might not be a very clear, hard line where it's like, oh, immediately below 1500, resentful. It's like, well, there's some gray area, but let me tell you about the gray area. The gray area is like, all right, okay, I'll take the job. I'll do it for $1,200. And then you get a better job. You get more money. You get opportunity. You're like, oh, fuck, now I have this thing that I have to write for the, now it's just an inconvenience. Instead of like, oh my God, great. I get to make this money over here and there's more money. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the murky can, but it's a judgment call. And I will say, as I have said before, you can get yourself out of everything, even a contract, if you're willing to, you know, deal with the circumstances. You don't have to torture yourself for a job. You can get out of it.
It's really good to remember. Yeah.
So sometimes if you say yes in the murky zone, and then your circumstances changes where you're like, oh God, I can't, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, then don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you.
I'm so you're prepared to have this conversation because of everything you just said. You were able to say, okay, well, the assignment was slightly different than what I think I'll be doing. Let me double check, right? Research. Okay, great. You know your negotiation zone. I would definitely negotiate, even if they, let's say you asked for 2000, they came back with 1,750 and you're like, oh, that's sweet. You go, oh, okay. I see that you want it. What would you be willing to hit 1800 and just round it up to 1800? Why not try to get 50 extra bucks? Mm-hmm. It's good to practice negotiation because you know what they would say? No. I mean, that's the worst thing. No, well, we can really can't go higher than, then you go, okay, 750. I'll take it.
I would take it. Okay.
Right. But practice. Mm-hmm. Women forget, like, even if someone offers you an amount of money that you're excited about, you could get more maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Risk it. Yeah. The worst thing that could happen is, how dare you not appreciate what we're offering you? Deal's over. But you didn't have anything to begin with.
It's true.
Yeah. And then you know they're assholes and you don't want to work with them anyway. If they cannot have this business conversation with you of getting a win-win situation, then you don't want to do business with them. If they can't handle a woman asking for a little bit, like, no, whatever.
Hmm.
Exciting. Oh, I'm excited to hear what happens.
Me too. Yeah, I'll keep you posted. Thank you again.
Please. You're very welcome. So I do have a question here from Carolyn, and I don't think she's on with us right now. And so let me just read it. Carolyn is a college admissions consultant. She's a cash flow tiger and she's looking for new clients. And I mentioned last session, I think, that, I myself, Christine, am creating lists, doing research and sending hundreds of emails to sort of spread the word about a new-ish business offering. I just need to have more people know that I run a coaching group for caregivers, adults who are caring for family and friends. I love to coach this group and it's so, so very helpful for the people, but I want the group to grow and more people need to know about it. So I'm, you know, sending out a lot of emails to this list I'm culling the emails from. And Carolyn was asking, how do I create a list of high school college counselors in my region and or potential clients, which are parents of college bound students and juniors and some high school junior and seniors? I find it so time consuming. Going cold emails don't yield results. Yet the few guidance counselors who know and refer me keep me going year after year with a steady flow of students. And I'd love to build on that, but how? So my answer to that would be, first of all, I think reaching out to new to you, high school, college counselors in your region will be valuable. I do not think it will be a waste of time. Because if you get just one or two of them and nurture a relationship with them, as you know, from the ones you have now, they can just be a source of ongoing referrals and those so valuable. So oftentimes when people think about reaching out cold, they think, okay, so I'm going to send one email and then that's it. And if they don't reach back out to me, like, that's it. It didn't work. And in my case, I am not, my goal isn't necessarily to build a relationship with all of these people. My goal is to just let them hear about me. And then I'm working on other stuff, national media and PR and things that if that is very likely, they'll hear about me again and then hear about me again. So I'm just planting like the first seed. And because I'm going for quantity, I'm sure some of these emails are probably going to land with people who are in a position where they have a dear friend in a position or who's like, oh my gosh, yes, here, I'll tell my friend about your group because boy, she needs it right now. That'll probably happen because I'm going for quantity. On your case, Carolyn, you aren't needing a huge quantity. I would actually choose 30. And I would research them a little bit. I would, you know, see if they have like a little bio about them on the website, or if they, you know, have, if there's any video about them on YouTube, like who are they? So you can know just a little bit more about the person. Each of the emails that I send out, I'm personalizing if I can. I go to the website and I look for anything that I could refer to or mention. If they have a team member, I include the team member's name just to let them know that, yeah, I'm not just like sending you out this email. I actually went to your website. In your case, because you're only doing 30, you can really see research if you can find out anything about the person that you could refer to, which would let them know like, oh, wow, she actually knows like who I am. You know, like if someone had been working at their school for 2 decades, that you can refer in the email, like, you know, I wanted to reach out to you, especially since you're so experienced having spent 2 decades at the blah, 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 blah school. Oh, she knows that about me. Like she knows who I am. Or if they've won an award or something like that. Then it's not just about one email with these 30 people. It is about a campaign that moves them from cold to warm. It's an email that first introduces yourself. The next quarter, it's an email that lets them know, oh, I just wanted to circle back with you. I introduced myself last quarter. I wanted to circle back and share the good news that all 17 of my clients got accepted to their colleges of choice or whatever. And then the next quarter, it's another email to these 30 people going, oh, I got this lovely letter back from one of the parents. And it never fails. No matter how many letters like this I get, it never fails to warm my heart. And I thought I'd share it. And then you have a little testimonial from the parent like, oh, Carolyn, she's the best. She's so patient and nice and insightful and really held our hands while we got, you know, whatever. And then the next quarter and every quarter, you send to these 30 people another email. And then you might also send an email. Hey, I came across this wonderful article and I didn't know if you'd seen it yet, but I thought it might be helpful. Here's the link. Something that would be helpful to them. So these emails that you send to these 30 people every quarter can be about you, your clients, testimonials, something helpful for them. In all of those emails, you need to have a little section of it, a little PS. You know, this is what just a reminder. So, you know, when you're sending them the wonderful letter from the parent, you know, PS, I work with blah, 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 blah. And I, you know, have been doing that for 20 years. Just a little like, hey, this is what I do. Remember me. Happy to help any of your students who would need that kind of guidance, like that kind of thing. And it's a campaign. So you move from stranger in their mind to like, wow, this is a really helpful, really seasoned professional in her field, and she's very consistent. I hear from her all the time. And the reason you're being so consistent, and this, I was just suggesting a quarterly basis because it's probably what you can handle. But in other situations, this could be every other month or every month or twice a month, you know, but you want to be consistent, because what you're waiting for is for that day when one of these 30 people has a problem or comes across a student and they're like, you know, who might be able to help is that woman who has been emailing me for the last year. Let me go search for her email. Here's her contact information. And they pass it along to their, and it just happens. You just want to be there when they have a need for you. You just, that's me. I just want people to know that I exist, because the odds are very great that they are going to become a caregiver, or somebody they know is going to become a caregiver. Not all those people will be right for me, but I don't need everybody. I need just a few. And so I just want to be out there, and I want people to know I exist for that moment when they tip over into needing me. So that would be the strategy I would suggest. And I'd pick 30 or 20. Pick a number that doesn't intimidate you and that you can handle corresponding with. Cool. So now the floor is open to anybody else. Raise your hand if you have a question. And if not, we'll call it a day. Bridget.
Hi. Nice to meet you. I'm just first want to say I'm so new to this, like literally just signed up. So if there's anything that I don't know if I'm asking things that are in the course that I haven't gotten to.
Oh, yet. I'll tell you. Don't worry about it.
Yes. So I basically joined because I'm finding myself in quite the pickle, because I'm an actor. And I work part-time. I have like a day job at a theater, which is part-time and very flexible. It's, my boss is a retired actor. It's nothing but actors. It's like, it's sales. So it's basically a bunch of actors sitting around in a room making calls and selling tickets, which is great. And it's, I get commission from it as well. So it's been good. You know, it's a better rate than most part-time jobs in LA, and it's flexible, which is great. But it's a commute, can be up to 45 minutes one way, depending on, you know, my hours that day. But on top of it, I have accidentally found myself in this dog sitting business that started almost 3 years ago and now is just constant almost. I mean, it's like at least every other weekend. So I've found myself trying to do both, and both being really the only way I can not be upside down. You know, this is how I'm making it work. But at the same time, it's not working. Like, I will be at this part-time job on the other side of LA working, and I'll have a dog sitting client ask about their dog, and I'm like, I'm not there, and haven't seen them in 6 hours, and you told me 6 hours is how long you leave them. And it's just, can you hear them now? I'm literally doing it now. And it's just become stressful. And I'm also doing it with my husband, and we're getting to the point where some weekends we're like double booked and we're not even at the same house, which is hard. It's great. It's great to be able to like sit around and work on whatever actor thing I can work on and be getting paid for it. But also I think it's also getting to the point where I'm sick of trying to be in a million places at once. And I'm also just kind of, I added an obstacle myself, which probably wasn't a good idea, but I also recently adopted my own kitten, thinking cats are okay by themselves. I can leave them for a good amount of time, but now I'll just go to these pet sitting houses and all I'm thinking about is my kitten that I'm abandoning, and I just feel, and I'll have to go check on him. So I definitely did that to myself, but it was one of those things where I met this little guy and I was like, this is my cat. So probably not the most responsible decision that I made, but I'm also glad I made it, because adding that layer to it has just put me in a position of, I cannot do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm not exactly sure what my question is. I think I just wanted to start this conversation and just, I don't know, hear your thoughts. And yeah.
So do you feel your rates are you undercharging
for the dogs? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think I don't do much when I'm here, to be honest. It's very
easy. Oh, wait. I don't really care if the job is easy.
Yeah.
That's called bonus.
Yeah.
When you're sitting, whether it's for a baby or an animal.
Yeah.
The reason you're getting paid is because if the house is on fire, your job is to get out with the animal or the baby.
Right.
And preferably maybe not let the house catch on fire.
Yeah, right.
They're paying you in case. It's an insurance job.
Mm-hmm,
not true. Think of it as a service job. Like, oh, I should be doing something. I'm like, no, that is an insurance job. Yeah. That's right. I'm here.
Yeah.
And if the house burns down, I'll try to stop that. Worst case scenario, at least I'll grab your dog.
Yeah, right, right.
That's what they're paying you for. So you cannot equate your price with like, yeah, but I'm barely working for what I'm getting.
Yeah.
That was my question is like, are you undercharging for the market?
We charge between 100 and 125 a day. I'll just tell you, I don't really know. I know that boarding services, some people that we've talked to say those are like $60, but I'd rather have somebody here. So it's worth it to me to pay 100.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what to compare it to. I have a friend who does it with his wife as well. And they are similar. They do 100 to 125 a day.
That's great. I just wanted to make sure you weren't undercharging, because sometimes you're like, but I love animals, so I do it for $50 an hour. It's like, ooh, okay, well.
That's what's funny about this too, is I'm not even someone who said, I want to make this my thing. Love animals. I mean, I love animals, but I just fell into this. I got asked by a friend and then they referred me. And now I have, that's another part of it.
That's fantastic that you fell into it. It was like this extra income and then your boyfriend could do it too. It's like, great. But it sounds like you're like, okay, that was fun for a while, but now I would like to more design my life around me and seeing my partner and us spending time with our kitty. By the way, that's the other thing they're paying for you when you do an on-site sitting, is you're literally going, you're paying me to be away from my partner. You're paying me for being away from my kitty and my house and my pajamas. Like, that's what they're also paying you for. And the time it takes to get to their place and all of that stuff.
Right.
So what else can you do that would maybe get you the same amount of money with also seeing your partner and your kitty? What else could you do? I mean, you've proven you can do something. You created
in general, or as like the dog?
No, not necessarily. You don't have to do this just because it came into your life.
Right. Yeah.
You can either reshape your business with the dogs so it doesn't look like this, raise your price, you don't have to do it so often, only block off certain weekends. Like, you can reshape that business, or you can build a totally other business.
I think I'm leaning more towards the latter. I just don't know what that would be. And I think also I will dog sit as long as possible. But if I had something that was creating enough income that I didn't have to rely on this and wouldn't feel, because my husband and I will get into the place of, I will miss you so much, but we should do it. And I just want to get to the place where we don't feel like we have to. But if it's like, oh yeah, we haven't done one in a while, and yeah, let's make the extra income this weekend, we would do it. I think I want to keep it around, but maybe select clients and no new ones, just like my regulars that I've had for almost 3 years now. But I would love to do something that's ideally from home or hybrid. And that way too, if I am watching somebody's dog, I can be making money from this and like be on my laptop making money from something else at the same time. I think what's just holding me up, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is like, I have a theater degree and I work at a theater. I don't have a ton of other skills, and I know those can be acquired.
Okay.
It's just, yeah.
So you have a ton of other skills. I have a theater degree and yeah. I managed a theater. Like, I just worked at a theater too. So it's like that you have skills.
Yeah.
So the first part of the Creating Cash Flow course is going to lead you through ways that you can start to discover these skills and these strengths and the combinations they can be in. So start with the course. Mm-hmm. And what you guys want is to turn this dog sitting thing into what I call a back pocket.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. It's like you can whip it out of your back pocket every time you need to make some money. Like, I used to be a professional organizer. I don't do it anymore, but like, if I needed to make a quick buck, I could whip that shit out of my back pocket, undercharge the going rate, and just make some money. Yeah. So it's just, and it's nice. It's in my back pocket in case, you know? And so that's where you want that to be. So we want another side business that fits your life so much better, brings down the amount of commuting time driving around the city. And the dog thing will slide into the back pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so start on the Creating Cash Flow course, because it's going to, and there's a workbook. You can start collecting your thoughts around that. And then bring your list of skills and strengths here. And we can all look at it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sort of piece it together and be like, oh, and yeah. Yeah.
One other thing I kind of wanted to add was, as I mentioned, I have a friend who also does the dog sitting thing with his wife, who actually works at the theater with me. So we both come to work like, are you with your spouse this week? I'm not. Are you? Like, so that's been a nice kind of bond with him over. But we've also just kind of looked at each other like, we're both doing this. And technically there's four of us that are doing this. And thought, I wonder if there's something, if we could somehow combine this to make it a business that is more enjoyable and less traveling all over the place. So I guess I would also kind of like to brainstorm ideas as far as that goes with just combining. My biggest issue with this dog sitting is if I could treat it as a 9-to-5 and just go watch dogs from 9-to-5 and then go to my own house, I think that would be fine. It's just constantly packing a bag and staying at somebody else's house that is not ideal. So I've thought about what if, I don't know, he could do, like, he and his wife could do the night shift or something at some point. And, you know, my husband and I could do 9-to-5 or something along those lines. But then you get into who do they text when they have questions, or how do you split the financial aspect, and how do you decide who does the dreaded night shift, like that kind of stuff. So I'm torn between just like doing something with this dog sitting thing, or like you were saying, kind of pocketing it and figuring out a side business that I can do that's, you know, more enjoyable, more fits my life better.
And how much do you make at the theater?
Since commission is involved, it's
just like ballpark.
Fluctuates a lot. Yeah. But it's between 20 and 25 most of the time. We've had a few weeks where we've gone to like up to 32 an hour. Mm-hmm. So that's like a good.
Yeah. But like base is kind of like.
Base would probably be
22. Between
20 and 25. Yeah.
And 8 hours a day?
I do. So it is part-time. So it's usually 26 hours a week. That's what I do, which really ends up being closer to 30 with the driving. But
yeah, so it's like 5 hours a day. So it's usually like $110 a day.
I think
it's like 22 for 5 hours. It's around there.
Yeah.
So right. If you're charging $125 a day per day, but that's just the day.
Right.
And for the four of you to make something like this palatable, I think you would need a fifth person to do the nights.
There's plenty of actors.
And you would have to charge enough to be able to pay that fifth person.
A fifth person to do just the night shifts? Mm-hmm. So then what would the other four, would we just alternate or?
Well, the thing about it is you guys have enough clients, they have enough clients. Yeah. So there's no sweet spot in combining right now because you all just would still be working the work that you're doing now. So if you were to do a business out of it, you guys would need to get more clients so that you could bring people in under you to do some of the sitting, and that you would do less of the sitting, but still be making enough money. I mean, this is a whole conversation to design something, but talk about it, throw ideas around, like for sure. But I'm wondering the ceiling, like if it's the people need the overnights.
Yeah. Right. That's...
And if you don't want to do the overnights, it's $125 a day, but that would mean you'd split that with the person doing the nights. So you wouldn't have to do the nights, but then you'd have to charge more if you want to get $125 a day.
Right.
But we're just cursory glancing at this.
Yeah.
But reading the cash flow course is going to start percolating ideas in your head.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but what I think you're really looking for, and I think it's possible for you, is something to replace all of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of it. The theater. Because the good news is you're getting paid. So you're getting paid at the theater, even with commissions, a very replaceable income. Because are you getting health benefits from the theater? Yeah, no benefits. It's almost like you're freelancing, except you have to drive there and be there every day.
Right. Yeah. And I've kept it because it's flexible. That's kind of how they.
Of course. No, you're not an idiot. I can see all the reasons why you kept it. Like, it is a good actor job and it was great. But there comes times in our lives where we just start to feel like we're ready for a shift. It doesn't mean what we had wasn't good. I loved organizing.
Yeah.
But there was a call, you know, it was just like, oh no, this is the direction now. Okay. And it was hard to leave it, just like it was hard for me to leave acting because I loved it. I never left a career I didn't like.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it was time. And it sounds to me, it's not today, but we're getting there. It's like, okay, so let's start planning. Let's start coming up with stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to overstay it where it's just like now it's just a grind and you can't wait to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. The cash flow course is written for you.
Yes. I kept like hearing Miata on different actor podcasts and things and feeling like, okay, this is, she is speaking to me. Yep. So I actually took a week off. I had a double booking for dog sitting. So my husband's at one house, I'm at another. This doesn't happen often where it's, you know, a week long, both of us. Wow. So I actually took the week off at the Pantages where I work to do the course and just figure it out and yes. apply for jobs if I have to, because I just haven't been able to even join these because I'm working. So
yeah, right. Smart. Well, I'm glad we got this time together today for sure.
Thank you so much. Yes.
And I look forward to talking to you further.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're very welcome. And Anise, I see your hand. We're out of time.
Yeah, that's fine. I thought I submitted a question, but I think it didn't go through because I realized I didn't get the like email back with what you submitted. So I'm like, I probably didn't hit send.
What time did you submit it at?
Oh, I submitted it at like 3:30 probably.
Yeah, I don't look at after 3 because I need
I
time.
Think I, to kind of I don't know if it's submitted though, because I never, usually I get like automatically it back and I didn't. So let me look. It's okay. I'll just.
Just so you know, it did pop into my inbox.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So you don't have to like rewrite it, but can you be here next time? Next on the 20th?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're here on the 20th, we will definitely talk. And if you come at the start, we'll start with you.
Okay, cool.
Because yeah. I was like, okay, seeing your name pop up here. I'm like,
yeah.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Yeah. All right, guys. Here's to 2 weeks of businessing. And then I'll be back on the 20th.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.